Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, lather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Scott. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet Land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian Bombastic Blowhard Wiley. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning and welcome to the Vinyl Spin Zone. I'm Adrian Wiley here with my faithful sidekick, Alexander Snitker, who we like to call the DJ of Disaster. I'm the Master Spin Master, and we're going to go into everything LP vinyl today. Today, we're going to start with my album collection, which runs the gamut from Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass Band to Black Sabbath and all points in between.
Did you ever want to be a radio DJ?
I totally like, was.
Like earlier?
Are you kidding me? You know what I wanted to be? I wanted to be the guy at Disney World who did the announcements that they play while you're waiting in line for all the rides. Step out to the left, please. When the car stops, step out to the left. I thought there was when I was a little kid, I thought there was an actual guy sitting somewhere behind a microphone just saying that all day. And I thought, what a great job that would be. But no, I dug into my album collection for the first time in and I'm not exaggerating, almost 30 years, probably real close to 30 years last night, and actually played albums because my son, he wanted a turntable for Christmas. So we bought him socks, and yesterday he went out and bought himself a turntable.
But what did he want a turntable for?
I don't know. I tried to talk him out of it. Well, I think that, he wanted a turntable because he's had the opportunity to hear the difference between vinyl and digital music. And after years of telling him that vinyl is I don't even know how you describe it. It's a more layered sound is probably the best way I can describe it. There's more to the sound, so to speak, than there are in digital recordings, where everything kind of seems more flattened out. And again, that's not the perfect description of it, but I think
what you're saying.
I think a lot of people understand that.
No, yeah. I totally get where you're coming from with the reference. I totally get it.
So a couple years ago, we went to my cousin's house, and my cousin, her husband, actually is a big time audiophile, and he had this system that he built from circuit boards and tubes and, you know, horns, and literally built it from the ground up, and he sunk tens of thousands of dollars in this. This was an incredible system. And so we go down to his basement and fire up this system, and he puts on Pink Floyd Animals. And for my kids, it was just like an out of body experience hearing what that can sound like. So since then, he's wanted a turntable, and I said, well, really, if you buy one of these $100 turntables, it's not going to be the real thing. And plus, no, you can't have my album collection, which was the other thing he was wanting. So he gets a turntable. I hook it up to our amp and tuner receiver that we have connected to the TV for surround sound. We plug it in. We start spinning vinyl last night and, having a couple of glasses of bourbon, and it was just such a good time listening to some of those albums. But apparently I've lost a ton of albums because I can't find only about half of them. Oh, and the other interesting thing was going through the newspapers that I used to pack in between the albums.
Yeah.
They were all from 1992. So we were looking at car ads and, things like that from 1990, computer ads, for the latest 486 computer with MS-DOS.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, for $3,000. So anyway, that was my evening.
Shows you how awesome capitalism is, by the way.
It really does. It really does.
It totally does.
Well, it shows you how it's funny that technology is the one thing that actually usually goes the opposite curve of inflation. You know what I'm saying?
That even inflation can't keep the curve in technology down.
Right, because there was also ads in there for, pickup trucks for under 10 grand new.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So BMW, I think it was a 5 Series for, 22.99.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Or 22.9, you know? Just crazy prices like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
But so that was a real, had a real good time just listening to albums last night.
That's funny. Yeah. That's really good, though.
And I ended up, so he ended up getting the turntable he wanted that I refused to get him because it seemed silly. And now I've pretty much given him all my records anyway. So
that was the way it was going to be, though.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be the ultimate outcome.
You can't say no. You have to say no initially.
Right.
Because you want to make sure that they understand the importance and the value
of them. Exactly. And I think that was, I think that was well covered. So now I'm okay, you know, kind of passing the torch. And I got no excuse. I mean, those things, like I said, they've sat in a box for 30 years. They haven't seen the light of day since Reagan was in office, you know. So, but yeah, that was a good time. That was my evening. But I had a few cocktails. I was hoping to get a good night's sleep. And then you're like, can you come in early this morning?
Yeah, Dick. I know. I'm sorry. Dick. I'm sorry. I have to go help the pizza place today, so I had to get this done early.
Yeah. Well,
as a matter of fact, I went out. I did Uber last night when I found out I was doing Uber last night. So
you did Uber last night when you found out you were
Uber
doing
Uber Eats when I had to find out I had to do the pizza place today.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just to get warmed up or what?
No. I was just doing it just to bring in a little extra.
Oh, you were already doing it when you found out.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
It's funny, because I do it in the smart car.
Right.
And so you just keep driving around the smart car. And the smart car's got the Another Girl Fights the Dust advertising on it.
Right. So you're getting free advertising,
too.
So you're
getting some free advertising out of the deal, too.
And you spent, like, 8 cents in gas.
Yeah, it's you get very good gas mileage in that vehicle.
Right.
And so I was just driving around, and it doesn't, and the muffler, like, the muffler doesn't really work right on that vehicle, so it sounds loud. So it's...
Oh, yeah, very intimidating.
Which makes it funner to drive. Like, it makes it funner to drive that thing. Like, I can't wait to buy another one. Like, I'm told... I think by February, I'll own a second one.
Are you going to poke a hole in the muffler of that one, too?
No, I am not going to poke a hole in the muffler on that one. I'm not going to do that.
So that it sounds like a, really souped-up lawnmower?
No, I don't want to poke a hole in the mountain on that, or in the vehicle on that one.
Doesn't sound like a weed eater. It actually sounds like a, two-stroke.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I am having a little bit of a personal dilemma right now. I called you up the other day about it, but I'm having a Second Amendment dilemma.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I'm not really, I don't want the government to do anything about this, but I am.
You keep saying that, but you do.
But I don't really, though.
Yeah, okay. Well, statist, why don't you tell us a story, statist?
So the other day, and this has happened before, this is not the first day that this happened, but the other day I'm at my house and I'm hearing gunshots. And I'm hearing a lot of gunshots. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And Danielle told me that the reason that I'm hearing gunshots is that there are duck hunters that are around the marshland, whatever you want to call it, behind my house. So behind my house used to be a lake.
This, well, I wouldn't say used to be. It still is a lake.
It's lake-ish.
Yeah.
But it used to be naturally fed with a spring. It is no longer fed with that spring. The spring has been diverted for drinking water. So the level that it used to be at has gone down tremendously. And so now it's just kind of a marshy area. Now, it also used to be a bird sanctuary, but I guess it's no longer a bird sanctuary anymore. So the other day, I'm hearing gunshots, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? So finally, I'm like, you know what? Let me go investigate the situation and go find out and go talk to these people. So I went over and found the three hunters that were there, and I was unarmed, and I went over to talk to these guys. And come to find out, they knew the law, so legally they're allowed to be there doing this. But I don't live in the country. I live in a residential neighborhood. I mean, I know I live in Hernando County, so I guess kind of Hernando County isn't, it's not Pinellas. But it's not like, the houses are right next to each other. The only way they can even get access, I can't buy this piece of property. So I am forbidden from owning this piece of property because the county owns this piece of property.
The lake you're talking about.
The marsh, whatever. The only way that these people have access to it is because the county owns an access point.
An easement.
An easement. So they own an easement, and that's how they can get away with this. The only reason, and the county was only supposed to own the lake, but because they've drained the lake, technically, the line in which they own now has some, land as well, like dry land, not just the marshland. Even though, oh, I will say, in all fairness, these guys were in the water when they were shooting for ducks. But I couldn't believe that these guys were out here in a residential neighborhood like duck hunting.
Okay.
And I want them to not do this.
Okay.
However, I do realize that technically they're allowed to do this. They haven't really shot anybody other than the ducks. I don't know how they're going to get the ducks either. Like, I don't even know that part.
Because retrievers?
No, it doesn't. It's in the, like, you can't, what, are they going to swim over there?
Usually they have dogs for that.
I don't think these guys had any dogs.
Hmm. I didn't see any. Maybe dogs. They're going to wade over there and get them.
Maybe. So I went over and talked to the guys, and they, you know, again, they explained that they knew the law, and they were real nice about it. Let me just say this. They weren't dicks. They were nice, and they were polite about it. They said they knew the law, but they're allowed to be here. They came in through the easement. They knew it. And then the conversation ended, and it ended when I asked them, like, what if you, you know, basically, what would you do if I was in your backyard shooting? Because it's like, you're in my backyard shooting, you know, shooting off, like, you know, whatever.
Well, hang on a second. When you say in your backyard, how far away are they from your house?
75 feet.
Oh, they're like right there?
Oh, yeah. No, dude. No, dude. Like, okay. So, you know, behind my house, you have that tree line. You know how you
right. Yeah.
On the other side of the access point, that's where they were.
What? I don't know where the access point is.
The access point you can see, right? Like when you look at my backyard.
Right.
To the left right there,
mm-hmm.
that wooded area right there,
right.
That's the access point.
Okay.
On the other side of the access point, in the next property over,
right.
On the bottom part of that house, that's where they were.
So your next door neighbor, like directly behind your next door neighbor's house.
Yes.
75 feet away from their lot line.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. I had a problem with that.
Like it was right there. That's where they were.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. I went and looked. Their aiming direction that they were aiming at was not towards my house. It was perpendicular. It was aiming towards the lake part. So, I mean, they were looking at it from where they were standing at. What's the least chance you would have of shooting somebody's house?
Right.
They were shooting that direction.
And yeah, and they're shooting birdshot, which isn't going to go all that far anyway. And yeah, you know, so if they're shooting out over the lake, that's got to be a, you know, what is that, 100-acre lake?
Something like that.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, that's that. I wouldn't be concerned about, you know, any rounds coming your way, any pellets coming your way. Yeah. No, I wouldn't be concerned about that at all.
I didn't. And when I went over there to look, I didn't think so either. And I know these people have had the cops called on them several times already.
Right.
But the cops are like, you know, nothing you can do about it. Like, they're allowed to do this. They're,
right.
They're because and again, this is one of those things that's like, it's a county problem. Like, you know, like we can't buy that piece of property behind us. Like, we can't buy it because the county owns it.
And you can't shoot them.
Right. You know, I did find it funny, though, that you can shoot off weapons in my backyard and not, you know, no problem will happen to you. But if you're protecting your family in your front yard by holding a gun on the side, you right. will be arrested.
Right. Yeah.
Like, the irony.
That's government.
The irony of that was not, you know, was not glossed over.
Well, did you explain to these guys what dicks they're being?
Adrian, as a matter of fact, I said, do you guys realize what a bunch of fucking dicks you are? Exact quote. Do you guys realize what a bunch of fucking dicks you are by coming here and shooting off in a residential neighborhood? And I said, well, what would you think if I did it in your backyard? Well, I don't know if they're allowed to do that in Bradenton. And I go, you're from Bradenton? And I walked away. Like, I was like, you know what, man?
Right.
How in the hell did you get to Spring Hill in Hernando County from Bradenton? Like, what in the, like, what?
Right.
So I just walked away at that point because I realized that I was probably going to lose my mind because I just couldn't believe that these people were from Bradenton.
So hang on a second. So on this property, directly behind your house,
mm-hmm.
it's fully legal to shoot.
During duck season. Yes.
Okay. Is there any limitation on the types of firearms you can use?
I don't know. I haven't looked up the law for that.
Okay. Well, the next time they show up, let's just get a bunch of people to go out there with ARs and shoot right next to them. That should solve the problem.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because it'll get rid of the ducks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's what we thought of as the solution to this.
Okay.
So what our solution to the problem is...
Abolish government.
Well, okay. Hold on. I can't get all that done at one time.
Why not?
Well, because... that has to be kind of, everybody's got to agree to that one. Even still.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So first off, they were doing this at like 6 a.m.
Right. Which is just,
which
total,
is total dick.
Total dick.
But here's what I'm going
to do. What assholes, man.
Yeah, I know. So here's what I'm going to do. I have the DJ equipment.
Right.
The big speakers. So I am going to bring the big speakers out there to the edge of my property, and I'm going to plug them in, and I will, for like every 15 minutes, I will play 20 seconds of death metal. Because what happens is that when they shoot, the ducks all fly away, and then, but they come back.
Right.
So I'm going to keep doing that and keep just blaring out death metal for 15 seconds.
Well, hang on a second. You should just get a recording of gunshots, you know, and set it on a loop to play every 5 minutes.
Oh, you know what? That's probably a better idea.
Yeah, and just, you know, so the birds will, you know, they won't even come back.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, unbelievable, man. And here's the thing. They're from Bradenton.
Yes.
Okay, so they drove.
And they were kids.
And they drove 6 counties to, well, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Drove 4.
4 counties to be here.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're going to drive 5 county distances, there's about 10,000 different places you can go duck hunting. You know what I'm saying? In any direction from Bradenton, mostly east and south.
I hear you. Look, here's the thing.
Why would you come to a neighborhood in Hernando?
Because nobody else is.
I guess.
Like, it's probably because it's easier to get the ducks in this neighborhood.
Hmm.
Like, I'm sure that, you know, nobody else is doing it other than these a-holes.
Yeah.
Now, they've been doing it for a little while, though, but normally, like I said, it takes a lot to wake me up in the morning. But, like, I'm getting to the point now where it's very irritating.
And they're doing it every weekend.
During the week, man. This is not a weekend thing. Like, they're doing it during the week.
Oh.
Like, it's a Tuesday.
Right. And how many times have they done this now?
That I can remember, I think 4 or 5.
Really? And have they been back since you talked to them last time?
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, well, that's good.
But I was gone on Friday, too, though. Like, I was at work on Friday.
Yeah, maybe you ran them off. Yeah.
I wasn't. Now, here's the thing. Like, I wasn't a dick. I really wasn't a dick. But I was like, I tried to be, like, civil and have a civil conversation with them. And in fairness to them, they were civil back. They didn't really, you know, they didn't give me any problems. And they weren't overly dickish. I mean, they weren't really dickish at all, but they were just kind of like, well, we're allowed to do this. So, you know,
yeah, government.
If you want to call the cops, you can, but, you know, we're allowed to do this. And, you know, and my argument was never with them that you shouldn't be allowed to do this. It's almost like you shouldn't do this.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this isn't about law or getting the police involved. This is just about, you know, common decency.
Like, why are you doing this in some, like.
And the only reason they are doing it is because of laws. Because if.
They're allowed.
Yeah, if it wasn't for laws, you or your neighbor or somebody else would own that property and they could run them off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it is county-owned property. That is true.
Actually, if there were no government, it would just be you would be able to defend that property because you're staking claim to it right now, which is the best way to do it.
No one would go back there when you were surrounded by a bunch of other houses.
Right.
You wouldn't. You just wouldn't think to do that.
No, you wouldn't because you wouldn't have the protection of, well, it's legal.
Yeah.
You know, well, exactly. Guess what? When you're messing with people like that and really, you know, bothering them, you would expect it to something to happen like that. You know,
yeah,
you would expect to have some type of repercussions from the people whose, lives and property you're disturbing.
Yeah. So. But I did have a personal dilemma with this. And my personal dilemma is that if you're fine with the Second Amendment and you're fine with the inherent right to bear arms, no matter what, under any circumstances, anywhere, then should you really complain if somebody's shooting guns in your backyard or not? Like behind your house, I should say, it wasn't on my property. So, like, should you have a problem with this? And part of me was like, yeah. And part of me was like, well, no.
I'm as Second Amendment as you get. And no, I totally have a problem with that.
Like, I just think you shouldn't. You just shouldn't do it.
You just shouldn't do it there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if anyone's doing that, it's you and your neighbors. With talking to your neighbors and say, hey, I'm going to go out and shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That would be more appropriate.
It would be respectful.
Right. Yeah.
Just because there's a law or there isn't a law doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to not be a dick.
That's the biggest problem I have with so many of the laws is that people replace law with what's right.
Yeah.
And they're very rarely the same thing at all. I mean, there's a handful that, you know, yeah, don't murder, don't rape, don't steal. Okay, yeah, those are moral laws. Pretty much everything else is just stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, so if people are just somewhat respectful to each other, then you don't really need a whole bunch of laws. And if you don't have laws, the people who aren't respectful of others' rights generally get taken care of pretty quickly.
One way or another.
Yeah.
call it karma, call it whatever.
It works out pretty well.
Yes. Yes, it does. Now.
But no, I was originally riding you a little bit because when you first told me about that, it sounded to me like you were wanting, you know, the law involved. That's the way it came across. So I thought you were a statist. But after describing it and after hearing you out, I don't fault you for any of that whatsoever.
Like,
I'm a little the other way. I don't even have a qualm. You can shoot guns all you want. Just can't do it on my property or like right next to my property because it's some government easement right behind my property. No.
Yeah.
You can't be literally if I can see you from my back porch, if I can identify you from my back porch, you're too close to my house to be shooting.
Here's another thing that gets brought up, by the way. Did you hear about this story in Hernando County? There was a guy that lives way out in BFE.
Hey, look. After my experience this morning in Hernando County, nothing will ever surprise me again.
Hold on, what happened?
Okay. So I'm on my way here, and the McDonald's past County Line Road, between your house and County Line Road.
Mm-hmm.
I pull in there to get a drink because, you know, I get parched during the show. So I get a drink, and the woman in front of me is in a Ford F-150 pickup truck, and she's this big old fat gnarly white woman, you know, just I think she had about 8 teeth total, and she gets out of her truck. Okay, first looks around on the ground and picks up some loose change, gets out of her truck, and she's at the window that you pay at, reaches in the bed of her truck, pulls out a bag full of garbage, a Glad trash bag, and hands it through the window. Says,
how big of the Glad bag was this?
It was
this
like a kitchen-sized Glad bag.
So a big
full
one.
Yeah, it just barely fit through the window.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And she hands it to the cashier. And the cashier takes it. And she pulls off to the next window and gets her food. And so I pull up to the window. I'm thinking, that's something I've never seen before. In fact, I remember once going to McDonald's and having an old cup. It, you know, just a paper cup. And I tried to hand it to the cashier. I said, could you throw this away for me? And she said, no, we're not allowed to do that. And this woman just passed a Glad bag through.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, so I pull up the window and the girl is talking to her manager. She's like talking to her manager. She says, no, I just need you to come up here, please. And she's got this shocked look on her face. So in Hernando County, apparently it's acceptable to pass you the trash out of the bed of your pickup truck through the McDonald's drive-thru window. So anyway, continue with whatever story is no longer going to surprise me.
Okay, so this was I think within like the past couple months, there was a guy in Hernando County that built a private gun range in his backyard.
Okay. How much land did he have? Critical piece of information.
I believe, and I'm trying to pull up the story, I believe it was five acres. It was within the law. Like, he's legally allowed to do this.
Okay. 5 acres is cutting it a little close, you know, especially for noise. But, yeah, I don't know what that was.
Was that you?
No, I don't think so. Oh. If so, excuse me. within 5 acres is cutting it a little close, at least for noise, especially if it's beyond that it's all residential or something.
Okay, so this guy doesn't live in like what you would consider to be a residential community. He lives like kind of out in the woods.
Okay,
but the thing about it was is that he aimed, like, he put the gun range down on like low,
so he dug down.
So he dug down.
Okay,
but it's aimed like when he shoots it, the other side of the burn is somebody's house.
How far on the other side? I mean, there's a lot of variables here.
I mean, like everybody's gone out there and looked at it, and it's within the, whatever the law is, it's within it.
Well, we've already established that the law is almost always irrelevant. So
the burn is roughly 20 feet high. The builder says he is focusing on making the backstop even safer by building up an addition 25 feet or higher. Guy said, you know, safety is his top priority. I'm trying to figure out where the
Okay.
I mean, I will say he's,
if this guy's got a 20 foot backstop, I mean, that sounds awfully safe to me.
Here's the thing. It looks like this guy's doing the best he can to make it safe. And it is like a wooded area.
But by the same token, if I was the guy in the house on the other side, I would feel uncomfortable about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is going on in Hernando as well. Don't get me wrong. They're going to, like, this guy's going to have a problem.
Right.
Because, like, I heard about this at a meet, at like the sheriff was talking about it. But when you hear the sheriff talk about it,
he doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it. And so he's like, look, you know, we're going to do something. And everybody was complaining in there. Like, nobody was in support of this.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Nobody was in favor of this at the meeting that I was at. Like, status. Nobody was. And the sheriff's like, we're going to do something about this. Like, this is,
look,
not going to happen.
The only people that should give a shit about that are his immediate neighbors. Anybody else, it's nobody's business.
Yeah. I mean, the immediate neighbor definitely hates it. But.
Well, yeah. And that, I can understand that. And those two need to work it out.
Yeah.
That's really what it boils down to.
Well, look, sometimes, like we said, like, sometimes you just shouldn't be a dick. Like sometimes you shouldn't aim, like, this person's, here's the thing. This almost comes down to what came first.
Right.
Like, the person built a house right there.
Right.
So you don't put your gun range aiming at the person's house because the house was already there.
Well, but I do understand this guy's thinking. He's like, dude, I've got a 25-foot tall backstop. There is nothing going through that, and there's nothing going over that. And if something does go over that, there's no way in hell it's hitting your house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I get all that, too. But by the same token, if that was my house on the other side of that berm, I would not like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, I'm not
so
moving.
I get it. It's a NIMBY thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's totally a NIMBY thing.
Well, and that's the good and the bad of trying to live out in, like, those areas.
And that's the good and bad of living in a society without government. People have to find a way to work these things out.
And it is no panacea, by the way. Like, assholes will exist.
There will always be conflicts between human beings. Surprise!
Yeah.
You know?
But because of that, if you just allow those things to happen, then when churches try to house homeless people, that they don't tell them that they can't be a church anymore because they're trying to shelter the homeless.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and tell this story. I haven't really, I'm not up to speed on this one.
Okay, so this is in Cleveland, Ohio. So the Denison United Church of Christ faces a difficult dilemma on Christmas Day. So a new statement issued Thursday afternoon outlines the city of Cleveland's concerned with the church housing the homeless. A few weeks ago, the church began a partnership with the Metatona Project. It's a local nonprofit that aims to shelter the homeless in Cleveland. However, the city's public safety department sent the church a cease use order. While part of the notice asked the church to update its fire security, it also demands that the church change its title from religious institution to a homeless shelter. So Pastor Nozi Inkukta, holy crap, hold on, N-O-Z-O-M-I, Nozomi?
Nozomi.
I-K-U-T-A, Akuta. Okay.
Okay.
Understands the need to update the building's fire safety, but not the order to change the church's identity. You're asking to update our fire extinguishers. That's understandable, she explained, but you're asking us to change the use of our building. We're a church. We have services here. 19 News reached out to city representatives. They were unable to comment due to the holiday. Okay, hold on. Here's the funny part, by the way. So the 19 News reached out to the city representatives, but they were not able to comment due to the holiday. On Thursday, the city of Cleveland issued a statement on the Denison Avenue Church of Christ. So, like, hold on. So you have enough time during the Christmas season to tell them that they can't do this anymore and they get a cease and desist, but
right.
You can't comment on why you do them a cease and desist, you yeah. Evil bastards?
Yeah, that's a little catch-22 there.
Like, so they sent out this whole thing where they basically, you know, they give an entire statement. Do you want me to read the statement or no?
Yeah, let's hear the statement.
Okay, so the city of Cleveland first became aware in September through Cleveland City Council of the Denison Avenue Church of Christ intent to house people overnight. At the time, the Department of Building and Housing was in communication with the church about what about was necessary for it to become a temporary R1 transient use facility, noting that certain requirements would need to be met. Requirements include an application to B&H for review. This review would include egress, fire protection, and fire safety measures. The local community development corporation contacted B&H, claiming the churches was already housing people overnight. B&H sent out an inspector on December 6th, and the church committed to making an application for the change of use.
Okay, so I'm assuming that...
There's way more to it.
That's enough. I'm assuming that it's, this time of year, it's sub-freezing in Ohio.
Yes.
Okay, so the concern by the city is that the people who are outside sleeping in freezing conditions outdoors can't go inside this church because it's potentially a fire hazard because there weren't enough exits and fire extinguishers.
Basically.
So it's... high probability. So the Cleveland, city of Cleveland, thinks it's a better to have a high probability of freezing to death than an extremely low probability of burning in a structure fire.
Yes.
Well, seems legit.
It's here's what it is. This is evil.
Right.
The government in this aspect is evil.
Their actions are evil. The outcome of their actions are evil because it's taking away a shelter from a people who need it the most. So the outcome of it is they're throwing people out into the cold, which is evil. Okay. People who need help and people who are willing to provide the help, they're throwing those people out in the cold. Evil outcome. The problem is that the intent, all of the intent that led up to this was not necessarily evil. In fact, most of it, the intent was good because, well, we're protecting people by saying you can have to have so many fire exits and you have to have so many fire extinguishers and we're protecting people. We don't want people to get hurt. And the end result is they're hurting people. And that is government in a nutshell.
No, you're exactly right. So what we've done is, as a society, because we are looking for always to be safe or whatever, that we've allowed the government to have the monopoly of force.
Right.
However, the government uses that monopoly of force against its competition. And in this aspect, taking care of people, the church is the government's direct competition because the church wants to take care of people because that's what it's what Jesus would want him to do, basically.
Right. Well, yeah. But here's the thing. I don't think that was necessarily their original intent. That's always the result. That's always the result is government creates a monopoly, and it always creates a less efficient and more bureaucratic and more heartless and you know, less personal and more totalitarian monopoly than anything else out there. But the intent was always good. The intent... in most cases, and that's the whole irony of it, because look, I don't believe that the people on the Cleveland City Council are necessarily evil totalitarian psychopaths that are going, we're going to be the only ones to house homeless people. Yeah, that's not happening. It's a bunch of average, stupid people with good intentions and no ability to think through to the consequences of their actions. And that is government almost universally, with a handful of, at the very top, there are a handful of very, very evil people. Most government is just idiocy.
Okay.
I mean, really, do you think on the Cleveland City Council that there are people who are just evil psychopaths, part of the Illuminati? Yeah.
Well,
you know, or do you think they're just a bunch of idiots?
Well, here's the thing. You can be an evil psychopath and not be part of the Illuminati. And I absolutely believe, and again, here's the thing. I don't know specifically of the people on the Cleveland City Council when it comes to this. I don't know that. But I will say this, is that I have met people at the local level that were evil. And I have read stories that of people that were evil people that got involved in government because they knew that they could impose their will upon others and that they were evil and that they will hide behind the safety moniker in order to promote
that is
their
true
evil.
In some cases, but that's I don't think that's a majority of cases. I mean, you get your Jack LaValle's, you know, that are just pure evil. But I think most people go in with noble intent and think, eh, well, if I can put a few bucks in my pocket, great. And then just end up becoming stupid and a little more greedy. And eventually they might become evil just because they're so jaded and self-centered that they, you know, that happens. But, you know, these, like I said, nobody, I don't think, these people do not have the capacity to think through all the consequences of their actions. And when they pass a law saying how many fire exits you have to have and how many fire extinguishers, nobody's thinking, well, that'll prevent the churches from housing the homeless, and then we can control those people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
And it's all with good intentions, but once it becomes law, it's the whole idea that laws are venerated and put upon pedestals and are become false idols that, well, it's the law.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that it's really bad to put these people out on the street, but it's the law. And that's what ends up happening, that the law becomes higher than anything else. It becomes higher than morality. It becomes higher than logic. It becomes higher than reason. And it becomes higher than compassion. And that's exactly what's happening in this case. The law supersedes everything. And that's the biggest problem we have. So whether it was with good intentions or evil intentions, it doesn't matter. It's the outcomes that affect people's real lives.
Well, and this is what it, and again, I'm taking it to almost like to the end, but this is what it's, this is what things like this with the church, this is what this is turning it to.
Right.
So, and this didn't get a whole lot, this hasn't gotten a whole lot of coverage, but basically China is being slammed over a program that appoints men to sleep with Uyghur women. And it's going to sound a little weird, like Uyghur women. So there are the Muslim Uyghurs.
It's Uyghur, I think.
Uyghur?
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure on that, but I think it is, yeah.
Currently, China is detaining 1 million Muslim Uyghurs in their country right now.
Right.
Because they're Muslim, and because China is atheists, they are basically sending all these people to, you know, re-education camps.
Well, here's the thing. These people have been, this is their territorial land for centuries.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not like these are immigrants or anything else. This is, they've been there a really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And this is the Chinese, oh God, the Chinese are evil. The Chinese are, everything that's wrong with America taken to the ultimate extreme.
Yeah, taken to the end.
Yeah, yeah, to the end game in some cases. But what this is actually genocide. What's going on in China right now?
This is genocide, but this is like even, look, there's killing them all, and then there's breeding them out of existence.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening.
And so what they're doing is they're incentivizing Han Chinese men to sleep with the Uyghur women.
They're not incentivizing them. They're hiring them.
Okay, hiring them. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And one of the perks of the job is these women have to share their beds with them.
If they don't, they're considered a terrorist.
Yes. Yes.
Like, holy crap on a cracker.
Yeah. And the Chinese government is like pawning this off as, oh, no. That's just part of the societal family
structure.
They're
sharing their cultures.
Yeah, right.
That's what they're saying.
It's a cultural exchange.
They're saying that they're sharing their cultures.
But yeah, make no mistake, folks, that when the Chinese round up the men and put them in camps and then send a bunch of Chinese, ethnic Han men to go sleep with the women, literally go sleep with the women. In the same bed. That's what the orders are. You sleep in the same bed with the wife of the guy we just put into a concentration camp. They are intending to breed out the problem.
Yes, that's what they're going to do.
They're literally breeding out the problem.
Think of
Braveheart.
Braveheart. Braveheart's one.
That's what I was thinking.
But True Romance.
True Romance.
Yeah, you remember True Romance?
Oh, hell yeah.
You remember the story that he told? I forget. Okay. I can't remember his name right now. It's really killing me. Like, it's totally killing me.
Oh, yeah.
When the Moors conquered Sicily.
Yeah, when the Moors conquered Sicily. They did so much fucking. Blonde hair, blue eyes, came dark skin, dark hair.
What's his name?
Now tell me.
Oh, my God.
Am I lying?
Am I lying?
It was Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One of the greatest scenes in all movie history. If you haven't seen the movie True Romance, go see the movie True Romance.
Oh, yeah.
But absolutely. I was thinking Braveheart. What is it?
Prima Nocte.
Prima Nocte. Yeah. Yeah.
That's another one.
Right.
Now, so let me read this, though. So last month, a Chinese official told Radio Free Asia the purpose of the program was to help the families with their ideology, bringing new ideas. They talk to them about life, during which time they develop feelings for one another. Normally, one or two people sleep in one bed, and if the weather is cold, three people sleep together, he said, adding, it is now considered normal for females to sleep on the same platform with their paired male relatives, relatives in quotes.
Right.
They claim
your new relatives.
Yeah. They claim the relatives and their female hosts sleep at least a meter apart at all times, and that male Communist Party officials have never tried to take advantage of women. Your ass, by the way. Ass.
Wait a second. What kind of beds they got over there in China where two people can sleep a meter apart?
Exactly.
They all got California kings?
And so Mrs. Abbas says all this is lies. Tons of pregnancies are coming up. She said tons of forced abortions. This is mass rape disguised as marriage.
Yeah, that's exactly what
Uyghur
it is.
Uyghur girls this are forced to marry rape. Han Chinese men with government gratifications.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Chinese, man. They are so evil.
It's communism. It's communism that's the, I mean.
You know, but here's the thing. For a long time, China was going in the right direction. I mean, I had friends who lived in mainland China in the 90s and very early 2000s, and they were saying, hey, man, it's a lot freer than America in a lot of ways over here. And, you know, then just, I don't know, something flipped, and they just went totally the other way.
I think this was always the plan.
It might have been. Maybe that was just a little blip.
Well, they needed to get bigger. They needed the people to trade.
They needed their economy to grow, and now mm-hmm. it's to the point where everybody is dependent on China, and they're the number two, soon to be number one economy in the world. They don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You
know,
now,
it's the end game.
Yeah. Now Google and Apple have to bend to their will. Mm-hmm. You know, not vice versa. So that's probably you're probably right. They're probably in the end game phase, and now they can go full on totalitarian, and nobody can bat an eye at them.
It's the one thing about Mark Zuckerberg that I actually respect is that he won't play with them.
Yeah.
He won't play with them.
Right.
And nor should he.
Well, that's because they're competing with his plan for world domination.
I don't think he's going to be making people have to, you know, he's not instituting prima nocte.
I don't know, man. He's got that Dr. No Blofeld vibe to me.
He does have that Dr. No.
I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere he has a lair with sharks with freaking lasers, man.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I will say this, though. You know who he doesn't sound like, though?
Who?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, yeah. Now,
holy crap, Frank Underwood.
I haven't really, you know, I've been spending time with family and actually doing a lot of work this week, which sucks. So I haven't really followed this, but I saw that another one of his accusers has died. And this is starting to be a little heavy coincidental here.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. So Kevin Spacey has been accused of assault, rape,
molestation,
whatever you want to call it.
Against men, mostly.
Against a lot of them.
Young men and actually boys in one or two cases, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of people that have accused him of this. So far, so much so that, you know, in all reality, it's ruined his career. Like, he will no longer, he doesn't have a movie career anymore.
Right.
And it's been a while that he hasn't had this movie career. In 2018, he did a YouTube video as the Frank Underwood character around Christmas time about how you want me back and all this kind of stuff. Right.
Right. I remember seeing that one.
A real creepy deal, right?
Yeah.
Well, since that time frame, there's three of his accusers have died of various ways. One of them, well, hold on. Before he did this video, two of them died and one of them just dropped the charges.
Right.
Or recused. The day after he put this video out, another one of them committed suicide. So, like, holy crap. And I'm going to play
this. Well, you're not talking about the 2018 video. You're talking about the video he just put out this Christmas.
The video he just put out. So
like
one
3 days
ago.
Yeah,
one of his accusers died, committed suicide.
The next day. Okay, so this was like 2 days ago he committed suicide.
Yeah.
So that's a total of three that have committed suicide.
Yeah. So I'm going to play this video for you. This is Kevin Spacey as the Frank Underwood character. Now, remember, he put this out December 24th,
okay,
this year.
He's stoking a fire in the fireplace mm-hmm. there.
You didn't really think I was going to miss the opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas, did you? It's been a pretty good year, and I'm grateful to have my health back. And in light of that, I've made some changes in my life, and I'd like to invite you to join me. As we walk into 2020, I want to cast my vote for more good in this world.
Ah, yes, I know what you're thinking. Can he be serious?
I'm dead serious. And it's not that hard, trust me. The next time someone does something you don't like, you can go on the attack, but you can also hold your fire and do the unexpected. You can kill them with kindness.
Like, are you kidding
me? What the fuck, dude?
Are you kidding me? Like, what in the hell is going on?
Wow.
That was done, like, the 26th, man, 2 days ago. Or no,
24th, yeah. Yeah, Christmas Eve.
Holy crap on a cracker.
Jesus. Yeah, that's...
The next day,
that
somebody
sounds like,
died.
That sounds like a threat.
Like, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, in the music, and it's produced, like, this is produced well.
Well, yeah.
Like, okay, first
I mean, it's
off,
Kevin Spacey. He's not going to do it shitty.
Who's producing this shit, though? Well, like, who's doing this?
I'm sure someone he paid, you know. But, wow. Wow.
By the way, hold on, just for the record. So this is on YouTube. They didn't take it down. It has 2.3 million views. 38,000 of them are thumbs up, and only 15,000 of them are thumbs down, by the way.
Well, you know what? For entertainment value, wow. The lines between reality and fantasy have just become more and more blurred, man.
Holy crap, though, right?
I mean, what's going on in that dude's head, man?
Like, I don't know,
I mean, first of all, here's the thing. One of two things is true here. Either he's just a sad little pathetic fuck trying to get his career back on track. And this, the other guy killing himself, is completely coincidental. Or this was a legit threat. And this guy who killed himself took it as that.
I mean,
I don't know which to believe.
Dude, here's the name of the video, by the way. The letter K, the letter T, the letter W, the letter K. All bold. That's the name of the video.
What is it?
Kill them with kindness.
Wow.
That's the name of the video. Like, it's KTWK.
Wow.
On Kevin Spacey's channel. Like, it's
right.
His,
yeah, this it's obviously his channel. He did this. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This isn't a deep fake video, you know.
Yeah.
That's him.
Here's the thing too, by the way. So,
jeez. I don't
The last two videos was him 3 days ago or 4 days ago, and then a year ago with the Let Me Be Frank video.
Right.
Like, so, like, in the past 2 years, that's it.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that had to virtually everyone watching that, that's like, what the hell does that mean? But to somebody out there, or to 100% of the people, that had no meaning. Here's the thing. Maybe it's just coincidental. A lot of people kill themselves around the holiday. You know, a guy who's been molested, you know, it probably is depressed anyway, has issues either because of that or, you know, that compounded it. So for someone in that circumstance at this time of year to take their lives, it's not all that, you know, unheard of. But when you couple it with that video, yeah, man, I don't know if we're reading too much into it or if these are just a bunch of, you know, if he's just, I mean, seriously, does, he's got enough money, obviously, that he could, you know, find someone to pay to.
He's been in enough movies. Yeah, he's got enough money. So he's got enough money that he could.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely has enough money to hire people from very, very dark places to threaten, intimidate, and potentially even kill these people.
Yeah.
You know, could he get away with it? Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. You know, maybe. But.
Are you kidding me, though?
Yeah.
Like, this freaking guy. Like,
why would you do that?
Like, and that was trending, man. It was like number 8 trending for a while. Like, everybody was watching this video.
That's
like, what would you? Here's the thing.
I don't know. I honestly
why
don't
is
have
that
a, take
a good
on this.
Idea? Like, why is it a good? Like, what? In
well,
your
here's
mind,
the thing.
Kevin Spacey, are you thinking?
I think Kevin Spacey's mind is a twisted, really twisted
it's
place.
It's gotta be.
It's a twisted, twisted place. And I don't think, and I think this happens to a lot of actors, is I think that sometimes they get to a point where they can't distinguish themselves from their characters. And I think Spacey is there.
Yeah.
You know
I
what
think,
I'm saying?
I think you might be right on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think he enjoys that character.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Frank Underwood was a great character.
Yeah. Why couldn't he stuck with K-Pax? <You know? laughs> We would have all been okay with that, you know.
Maybe Kaiser, so even Kaiser, even,
Kaiser Sose, yeah, I, stick with the limp, yeah. And we'd have a little sympathy for you. You know what I'm saying?
It's just so messed up, dude. When I watched the video, I was like, you know, because you hear about it, like, oh, somebody died, whatever. And then you watch the video, and you're like,
right?
Whoa,
right.
Like, that's some nasty shit. That's some nasty shit. Like,
that's,
like, it's life imitating
art. Well, here's
art.
The thing. Here's the thing. Three of his accusers
are dead.
Are dead. That ain't right. That ain't right.
How many
right.
people did you rape, dude? Like here's the thing.
Yeah. Did you rape 40,000? Because then, if that's the case, then we're in the right demographics
exactly.
here. With
exactly.
Statistically speaking, that's going to happen.
But like this.
But if you got, let's say, 6 accusers and half of them commit suicide, something ain't right
I do
here.
Think he's in the teens for the number of accusers.
Okay, still,
like, I do think he's up
that's
there.
Still a pretty high ratio of suicide.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's absolutely
mean, it's
that.
Way high.
Well, and the other thing is this, like, you know that this character, the Frank Underwood character was kind of mirrored, not mirrored, but was like taken off of the Clintons.
Oh, of course, yeah. He was, he drew a lot from Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's obvious when you watch
and
House
Claire
of Cards.
Claire drew a lot from Hillary.
Exactly. This is a slightly more refined version of Bill and Hillary.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody can, you know, dispute that.
You know, I have another question for you, though. This is a little bit off the topic, but I do have a question for you.
Okay.
You know how, like, you can't call your kid, like, if your kid was born, you couldn't use the word Adolf after World War II for obvious reasons, right?
Right, right.
Like, and if you had the last name Hitler, like, you couldn't use that anymore, right?
Right.
Do you personally feel like that there's other names that you just instinctively hate now because of that? Like, I hate the word Hillary instinctively now.
If I had a daughter, I wouldn't name her Hillary, that's for
like,
sure.
I don't like the word Clinton. I don't like the word Hillary. I don't have a problem
well,
with the
hang
word
on
Bill.
Well, hang on a second. Thankfully, there's George Clinton who kind of saves the Clinton name for me.
Okay.
Because he obviously offsets a lot of that.
But like last night, you know, it's funny. Last night I was driving and I was doing, like I said, I was doing an Uber Eat thing and the name came up Hillary and I immediately had a negative connotation about this person.
Well, yeah.
Just because of the name Hillary.
Well, you have a weird emotional imprinting thing anyway that goes on in your brain that I've never quite understood. So that could be you.
Okay, it could be me.
Now, Rodman, you know, there you've got Hillary Rodman Clinton.
Rodham. Not Rodman.
Oh, I thought it was Rodman.
No, it's Rodham.
Oh, well, there goes my Dennis Rodman joke.
No, yeah, it's not that.
Damn it. That's right, it is Rodham. Hillary Rodham Clinton. Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, well, that blew my joke.
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks for correcting me.
Well, know the right words.
Let me look stupid if I've got a punchline, okay?
You would have looked stupider if you tried to pull it off.
You're probably right.
So I don't know. I don't think there's any other name that I can think of off the top of my head that I initially have a bad reaction to.
Yeah,
maybe. No.
Now,
Hillary is one of them, though.
Hang on, I do know a guy named Adolfo.
Yeah, but it's not Adolf, though.
Pretty
it's
close,
it's not even
though.
Spelled that way, though.
Yeah, it's still pretty close. I mean, it's a...
You talk about Adolfo Leon.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously a variation of that. You know?
Yeah, you gotta be, it's like Battleship, and you gotta be directly on it.
It's gotta be a hit.
Yeah, it's gotta be a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, I do feel bad for anybody that was named Adolf, though. Like, I really do. Like, if it was after.
Like, beforehand? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that would suck.
Like, that does suck. Like, the guy ruined your name for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, the woman
That's where you get, you know, called in class, Adolf? Oh, yeah. I go by Hans, my middle name.
Yeah. You know? You're changing that shit around.
Right.
You got to change that shit quick. So, all right. So, now, The other thing is that when I saw the person that had the name Hillary, though, like, I still, like, then I was just being nitpicky. Like, she lived on the third floor, and I was like, oh, you're going to make me walk up the fucking stairs just like Hillary would fucking make you.
Oh, this was an Uber Eats
yeah, it was
delivery?
An Uber Eats
delivery. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
she made you walk up three flights of stairs?
Yeah, I know.
That bitch.
I hate people that live in apartments, by the way.
Did
like,
she tip?
I really do. No.
Yeah, typical.
Like, people order the weirdest stuff, by the way. Like, this is the thing about what the food delivery thing. The thing about it is, like, there are people that will order, like last night, from Moe's, one burrito.
Right.
And to drive, like, 8 miles.
And doesn't that end up costing, like, $20 for that one burrito?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know how much it costs them on their end, because there's always some kind of deal where people are getting, like, 50% off, or, like, they're always trying to, they're doing deals. I mean, it's why Uber and them are always losing, you know, billions of dollars, because they're trying to get everybody to use the system, so they got to pay the, like, I made, like, $90 last night, and I worked for, like, maybe...
Damn,
like
how many
4 hours?
How many deliveries did you make in that time?
I don't know the exact number. I wasn't that busy. I will say this. I got good tips, though. Like, I got some, like, one tip I got was like $11. That was for a big order. I got one tip of $9. I got one tip of, you know, I got a lot of that money was tip money, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
But I did make like $90 last night, though, just doing a couple
in 4 hours.
Hours,
that's pretty good.
You know, I think it was like 5 hours. I think like, 5 hours.
All right, so that's total. $20 an hour, roughly. A little less. That. Yeah, not too bad.
So it wasn't bad. Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
Especially with your car, because you're paying nothing for gas.
Well, yeah, because I got the smart car when I'm doing this.
It would be a little rougher if you had, you know, a four-door sedan or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or a pickup truck.
You don't want to do that. Yeah. You don't want to do that. It'd be tough just to get around.
I'm curious, because I have never once used any of those food delivery services.
All right.
Just because it weirds me out. But pizza is the only thing I'll have delivered to my house.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't like the idea.
I very rarely, if ever, do an Uber Eats order for pizza.
Well, why would you?
It's always something else.
Well, why? Well, what I'm saying is I just order pizza that from places that deliver anyway.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I've never done, I don't have an Uber Eats account. I don't have a DoorDash account. None of that. Nothing. I've never used them.
Oh, really? Oh, no. I think they're great. Like, if you want to use them, I think they're great.
Yeah, weird.
It's just not your thing.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
Yeah, but hold on. Let me challenge you here a little bit on this one. Is that you will order the pizza from the pizza place, but
right.
What's the difference between ordering the pizza from the pizza place and ordering any other piece of food item from another place?
I don't know the answer to that. First of all, one of the things is I know exactly what I'm getting, okay. The other thing is that's an employee of that company, you know? So it's, I don't know. It's just,
are you afraid of somebody messing with your food?
Not even necessarily. I think the odds of that are exceptionally, I mean, somebody might steal a couple of fries or something, but you know, I mean, that's a, I buy you fly rolls anyway. So that's not really, I don't know. I just, I find it to, maybe it's, I don't like the uncertainty of not knowing, not being able to look at a menu and figure out exactly what I want, you know, kind of the guesstimate of what I'm ordering, and also the not knowing of the cost, plus all the additional cost of doing that.
I mean, it definitely does cost more money to do it.
Yeah, that's
way.
What I'm saying. I mean, if I want something that I can go out and, you know,
it's not that much more, though.
Pick up,
on their
I'll
side,
get in the car and go out and do it.
Well, no, and I hear you there. And it does take a lot. It does take longer.
Right.
I mean, unless you get me to do the delivery. Because, I mean, I got to tell you, I was Johnny on the spot last night. One of the reasons I actually think I get good tips, there's two reasons I get good tips. One of them is because, like, I do not mess around. Like, I
you get in there, you get the food, you're the
and
place.
I'm out.
Dude.
Like, I'm,
right.
I'm moving.
Well, yeah, you're there to make money.
The second thing is that I buy the bags, so I have the extra bags. And last night, like, I had the setup last night that I think was like the best setup I've ever had, where I had like the blue coolers, and then I put the bags in the blue coolers, and then when I was driving, I had three of the blue coolers in there, you know, the little stackable coolers,
right?
So I had those in there, so they were all in good spots. And I think everybody that
so you
saw
keep
my,
it hot.
Oh yeah, it definitely stays at good temperature, because I have like the thermal bags.
So
and all that
when you
stuff.
Walk up to the door, you've got
I have
it in
the thermal
the cooler.
Bag.
You have got
it's
the thermal
bag,
and then you open the thermal bag and
uh-huh.
hand them the food.
Oh,
people
yeah.
like that, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, because the thing is this, like and again, they don't see this part, but like when I get the food at the place, I put it in the bag in the store and then zip it up, and then I don't unzip it until I get to the place.
Right.
Like, so I don't even want to, like, I don't ever want anybody messing with your food.
Right.
And there were some people that were accused of messing with people's food. The way that they've kind of solved this a little bit is the store has a sticker that they put on their containers.
Right.
And that's, I mean, don't get me wrong, you can always get around that or whatever. Yeah, not everybody does it either. But I try to stay in Pasco, by the way, as opposed to going to Pinellas, though. And the reason why is Pasco people tip in cash more.
Really?
And actually, Pasco people give better tips.
That's surprising.
Than Pinellas people.
Yeah.
And I will say that it's based off of all the times that I've ever done it, I always get better tips in Pasco County than I do in Pinellas County.
Huh. Go figure that.
Now, I might be busier in Pinellas, though, or Hillsboro.
Right.
For a while, I used to go down to Tampa, and I used to do it in Tampa, but that's when I would do it, like, all night. Like, I would do it till, like, you know, like
yeah, if you're going to drive up there,
3 or 4 in the morning.
You got to make it worth your while.
Well, then I was making, like, 100 and...
Oh, God.
I could do like $150 in a night.
I bet if well,
down
hang on.
In Tampa.
I bet if you're working at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you get some huge ass tips.
You can get some good ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you get some stoners. Like, there's a lot. I will say this also in doing Uber. There's a lot of people smoking weed.
Well, duh.
Like, there's a lot of people smoking weed, man.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. Like, it's beautiful to see. Don't get me wrong. Like, when you're doing, it's almost like working at a convenience store. One of the cool things about working at a convenience store or delivering is that you get to see humanity in its rawest form.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to see somebody's representative. You get to see the real humanity in its raw form.
Yep. Yep. And I used to work the graveyard shift at a 7-Eleven. I know this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you really can see it. And it's nice to see. Like, it's just interesting.
It's human.
To see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really
it's,
human.
It's like, it's honestly like National Geographic in a way. You know what I'm saying? It's like being an anthropologist. You know, you're talking to the guy who's got a really cool story, and he's there telling you at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you have to say, "Hey, excuse me, man, hang on, I want to hear the rest of that story, but I got to go get the crackheads out of the bathroom."
Yeah,
you know? And that's your life.
And I will say this: you will go to every level of house with Uber Eats. So I will go to a trailer park,
right?
And I will go to a gated community where the house is worth $1.5 million.
Right.
Like, it's all points in between.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is that it is not a general rule that the $1.5 million house will tip well and that the trailer park will tip bad. It is not a standard rule for that.
No, I can imagine. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I would say that the middle of the road houses are the ones that tip the worst. And it's the trailer parks or the mansions that tip the best.
Really?
It's weird that way. It's not always the rule, but it's weird that way.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's a very interesting thing, and I do love doing
well,
those things.
Well, it goes to show you that it has really nothing to do with a person's status in life. It's who the person is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if they've ever made their money off of tips, they tip a lot better.
Right.
Because they understand the struggle.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've never really worked off tips, but I'm a very good tipper. Like, Christmas Eve, I took my wife out to lunch, just downtown Palm Harbor, and, you know, I tipped the server like 40%, you know, because it was, you know, that time of day. What are you doing over there, tough guy? Got your headphones off, stuff going on?
I'm realizing what was making noises.
Oh, it was your tablet over there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. A good radio professional there.
There you go.
But yeah, so I always tip well. Just because, well, actually, that's not true. If the service is bad, if I feel the server is at fault for bad service, I will tip exceptionally. I'll tip like $1 just to let them know, hey, I didn't forget. I gave you a bad tip on purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that is, I've maybe only done that, you know. 10 times in
handful
my
of times.
Yeah, 10 times in my entire life.
I got you.
You know, normally it's 20% is kind of my default.
I got you. You know, but I'm about the 20s.
Yeah, I usually do 20 if it's good service, it's 20%. But I find that interesting. But yeah, I just can't get behind the whole Uber Eats thing. I just got a weird hang up with, you know, strangers bringing me food.
I got you. No, I
don't like the uncertainty of not knowing what it's going to cost and not knowing, you know.
Well, I mean, you will know what it's going to cost.
Well, I want to not knowing what to order is more of the thing. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. You'd have to. Here's the thing. I think you'd have to. I think if you tried the app, you might feel better about it. But you're not going to be able to use the app anyway because of all the restrictions that you have on your own.
Exactly.
Stuff.
I could never use the app just because of all the
your own personal restrictions.
Well, all the privacy restrictions and stuff like that. I would have to loosen up the restrictions on my phone to even make it work, and that never happened.
You're not going
to
do that.
No,
anyway.
No. So me and apps don't get along. I don't even have regular Uber or Lyft on my phone. If I ever take an Uber or Lyft, it's somebody else calling it.
Somebody else called it?
Yeah, no, that those apps won't be on my phone.
I got you.
Not happening.
It happens.
Yeah, nothing that can track me.
All right. Well, look, hour number one is in the bag. Hour number two will be coming up here.
What are we going to talk about in hour number two?
In hour number two, we are going to be talking about how this was the best decade ever.
Oh, nice.
Making some of our own things about the decade. We are going to talk about...
Maybe some predictions for the new year.
The Dems doing a thing. And Bloomberg getting prisoners. Or hiring prisoners.